Good morning. It's good to see you today. We're very thankful that you're here. We have several visitors with us. I add my word of thanks. Welcome to being with us. We appreciate that very much. We invite you to get a Bible and join and follow along, perhaps the bulletin that you have, as we have the outline of our lesson there on page 3. We invite any questions that you have, any comments that you might wish to share. Our interest is to teach God's Word correctly. To speak as God's Word speaks. And so if you find that we've said or done something this morning that is not in harmony with the Scriptures, then please bring that to our attention. We sincerely request that so that we can review it, we can examine it in light of the Scriptures. We might know that if we have indeed done that which God has not approved, then we'll make that correction to be right before Him. We would ask each of us to do that as we speak from God's Word today, to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, to carefully consider that we all are merely living on this side of eternity, and that life is but a vapor that appears for a very short, that is here for a very short time, and then it vanishes away. And so, with the brevity and uncertainty of life, we're impressed that we must seek and do the will of God in all things at all times. So if we can help you in your life toward that worthy goal of doing the will of God, of becoming a Christian, of being saved from your past sins, or as a child of God, to make correction of sin in your life, then we want to help you do that. And we invite your response at the end of our lesson this morning. Well, we started a study Sunday night that we got through the introduction on, so and afterwards got to talking more with my wife, and she gave me more material, so I blame her that I've extended it to two more lessons than just one. So no, we're gonna continue what we started in our study Sunday night of turning order into chaos. Why gender matters. The subject of transgender has burst upon the scene, it seems, of late in our society. It's been around for a while, but some of the prominent examples and illustrations of that have presented themselves. And so last Sunday night, we began a study from God's Word about why it matters, what we think and do relative to gender and what that whole issue is. We spent some time very briefly looking at definitions that transgender means is used essentially to mean that one who was born into a body not associated with their gender, or were assigned a sex that does not match their gender. And as we mentioned on Sunday night, who does the assigning? Well, according to the scripture we just read, God does. God does the assigning of male and female. He does the assigning of sex, but you see, they're in the idea of transgender is a separation of the concept of sex and gender, of male and female and gender, so that now you may be of a particular sex, you may be female, but that doesn't really match what you think your gender is, okay? And so you become transgender, as it were. We mentioned also that we are not talking about congenital ambiguous sex or gender identity. About 1 in 4,500 births a child is born with ambiguous physical features and traits. And so that's not what we're talking about in these studies. We're talking about choices that people are making, not any physical ambiguities that are addressed medically, but choices that people make to identify themselves in some way other than that assignment that God made based upon the principles of reproduction that He gave the human race. We noted that this is regarded as a dysphoria, as a pathology of psychological and emotional trouble, and yet that does not in and of itself suggest a removal of moral responsibility and accountability in these things. We noted that transgender has become mainstream, fueled by medicine the advances and capabilities of medicine, psychological community, government, the media, politics, the philosophies of men. Colossians 2 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you from your reward that you have in Jesus Christ." He says, "Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Our objective must be to be in harmony with those things that are according to Christ, not the traditions of men, not the principles of the world. But surely it is the principles of the world that are fueling the philosophies of men that are agitating this whole subject of transgender. And the question we pose is, shall we be silent? Shall we simply acquiesce? Shall we simply be quiet and not say anything, not speak God's word on the matter, not live our life in harmony with what God's truth has to say about it? No, we will not. We mentioned, and you remember, Facebook is an illustration. Now they have over 50 gender options. When you set up your who you are on there, you can choose from 50 different options of who you are, gender-wise. And we pointed out the one we really like here is other. I guess if you can't think of anything else, you can always be other. There's a lot of others on there as now. So, you know, that's the lunacy of this, the ludicrous, the extreme to which this is going in our society. Of course, there's the Bruce Jenner issue, and we'll have a little bit more to say about that today. We noted that President Obama told Bruce Jenner he's very courageous, identifying himself now as Caitlyn Jenner. And of course, he has repeatedly in his presidency pointed named June as LGBT Pride Month, and made this a human rights, tried to make this a human rights issue. So that now if you speak out against such things as transgender or lesbianism, gay, bisexual, transgender, and now they're putting the Q on there too for queer, then you're against human rights. Then in some way you're some form of bigot. And we took note of that from the charge I shared with you, an email back in 2011 of somebody that charged me with being ignorant and insensitive, a hater and a bigot for teaching these sorts of things as sin. Well, there's that particular email. And it's always curious. Someone writes that kind of an email and then says, won't sign their name and tells me not to respond to the email. It is rather ironic that those who do not want to be judged for being transgender will judge you for holding an opposing view. That is a violation of Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Jesus said, "With what judgment you judge, you will be judged." We're willing to accept the judgment of God's Word because it is righteous. All God's judgments are true and righteous altogether, Psalm 19 says. And so, we understand and know that God knows that our heart is to desire these people's repentance. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're in spiritual trouble. They're in sin. They're lost. They need salvation. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save transgender, as He did every one of us. And with Paul, we can say it's our desire, our heart's desire, that they be saved. That's why we preach this, among other reasons, is to give us the information that we need to address these matters with people who are caught up in this or who are caught up in sympathy and support of such decisions in their lives. So we want to now look at part two, transgenderism and how it is justified. What God's Word has to say about it, and what some are saying about it, to try to legitimize the whole activity. What is the issue? Let's go back to Genesis and let Genesis help us understand the issue. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, we read that God said in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then in verse 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." God created humanity in His image, after His likeness. He gave us will. He gave us volition. He gave us emotion. He gave us conscience. He gave us moral accountability and responsibility. He gave us intellect. He gave us all these traits that are His, like Him. He wasn't talking about physical likeness. He's talking about our immortal soul. And then he made us male and female. See, man is male and female. Humanity, male and female. God assigns gender. That's why it matters. God did the assigning from the very beginning. And so, in creation, and then in the dividing of male and female, and the distinction, I have the word division there, I could have used the word distinction. In making male and female distinct, He provides us an essential fundamental truth of who we are, of what our identity is, and of what our responsibility toward Him and toward one another. What those responsibilities and accountabilities are. He gave us roles, distinct roles as males and females. And there are consequences for each. Verse 18, we'll come back to this in a minute, just to remind ourselves, Genesis 2:18, man was alone, and God saw it was not good. And so He made one who was comparable to Him, who was a helpmeet, who answered to man, that is, completes man. He created woman. And so, as He presents the woman to the man, He presents her to him in a new relationship, the first relationship formed among human beings, and that was marriage. He didn't just say, "Here's the woman, live with her." He said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is what he shall be called woman. She shall be called woman." This was Adam saying, because she's taken from man. And God said, "Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh," or be one flesh. First relationship that men and women had on this earth was marriage. That's from God. You see, because He made male and female, and He gave purpose to that. Be fruitful and fill up the earth, Genesis 1:28, 27 and 8, that we just read, you see. And Jesus refers to it in Matthew 19. "Have you not read that He who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh.'" You see, Jesus endorses the fact that God made male and female, and that God instituted marriage. God gave purpose to our gender identity that He established, that He assigned from creation. But you see, the transgender agenda supplants this truth with lies. It exchanges the truth of God for a lie, as in Romans 1 and verse 25. "For the philosophies of men, for science so called." You see, transgenderism says that gender is a social construct. Quote, what does that mean? Social construct. Well, it just means man's decided. Man's built it. So society has built this. Society has the right to do this sort of thing. It's a social construct. And this gender, your gender really is a fluid thing. You know, remember, see, they've separated the idea of male and female and gender. And so your gender can be fluid. It can be changing. And there are numberless kinds of... I mean, you may change your gender 3 times today, according to their thinking. Yeah. You may wake up feeling like a woman, but by the end of the day, you may be something else. And you feel that way, and that's who you want to identify as, and so you identify yourself as that, and after all, I need to respect that because that's your identity. Now, you know, we're supposed to be respectful to all people. Sure. We're to love all. Love our neighbors as ourselves. But that doesn't mean that I have to agree with decisions that are blatant blatant disregards of the purpose and principle of God and of the Word of God. No, God in fact calls me to try to help teach the truth of the matter rather than the deception that people fall into. And by the way, remember, we're talking about psychological dysphoria. We're talking about a pathology of depression and sorrow and anxiety that grows out of somebody thinking they're not what their gender really is. And that's healthy. It's healthy to go ahead and let a person just identify self-identify themselves, feed into that pathology. That's love? Really? No, that's convenient for me. But it doesn't help the person swallowed up by that kind of deception. And that's where we are in this society. At the heart of a lot of this, judge not, and you can't judge, and it's easier for me, you see. You don't say anything, because that makes it easier for me to do what I want. And this gender is just one illustration of it. You heard about the lady who's the president of the Washington NAACP in Spokane, Washington. Yeah. She wants to. She believes she's black, but you see, she's of Czech and German descent. Can I just decide? I wake up one day and say, I really feel like a woman. I'm going to be a woman. How do I know how a woman feels? See, it supplants the truth of God. That God created male and female. God gave male responsibilities, female responsibilities, husband and wife, purpose and role, accountability and responsibility and consequences for which we answer to God for those responsibilities. And it turns it on its head and says, that's not right. The Bible's not right. I feel like I'm something else. And my feelings matter. And you see, my feelings become more important than Almighty God's Word. And that's the fundamental problem. Why is it sin? God created gender and we don't control it. We don't control it. Jeremiah uses this terminology. I understand he's not talking about transgender when he said it, but he states a principle. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the Ethiopian with dark skin, can he change his skin color? Just could he wake up one day and say, I really think I'm white. I really think I'm Caucasian. Why? He can't do that. And of what consequence is that? No, he can't do that. Can a leper change its spots? No. And yet, people think I can wake up one day, or maybe for years, maybe for decades, and I've got this woman inside of me. I'm a guy biologically and all, but I think I'm a woman. And then we go through all this surgical process to make us look like on the outside what we think we're feeling on the inside, and then we say we're somebody different, like the leopard changing his spots. Now, God created gender. Sex, male and female. I do not acknowledge the dichotomy of human philosophy that says you may be one sex, but your gender may be something else. That's not in the Bible. That's not Bible. The Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and 11. That's what we're going to do. Speak as the oracles of God. That's not Bible talk. Look, when God created gender, it's the ability of reproduction. It's one of the byproducts. That's one of the purposes of it. Is to replenish, fill up the earth. It identifies us. Male and female. Husband, wife. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. here's this new relationship from the two that are separate. Now there's one. There's identity. There's roles. The husband has a role in marriage. The wife has a role in marriage. They're God-given roles. God-given expectations. And that springs out of the fact that God created man and woman differently, distinct. And then man wants to come along and say, no, it's not so distinct. But nature teaches that transgenderism is sinful because it transgresses. It goes beyond what God has established, what God has revealed, what God's purposes are, to establish a man-defined, man-made distinction and attempt at identification. In Romans 1, 26 and 7, here's the principle at work. For this reason God gave them over to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. He's describing homosexuality in this statement. Surely the idea of transgender is against nature. God created male and female. The transgender mentality is against that nature that comes from God. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. It is the pot telling the potter, it's the clay telling the potter how things ought to be. In Romans 9, 20 and 21. Indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Who is this person who thinks they can come to God who measures space with a span? Isaiah 40, verses 10 through 13. God can measure the universe with a span, with the measurement that we call from the fingertip to the thumb tip. God can measure it with a span. Who is this person who stands before that God and says, "Why did you make me this way?" I want to see that person and their power and their might and their wisdom. Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, "Why have you made me like this?" Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? God has the right to make us as He would, and He has, and He expects us to honor Him for that, to respect Him for that, not to say, "God made a mistake. God put a woman in a man's body, or put a man in a woman's body." No. That's the creative, wishful thinking of a mind that's been corrupted away from respect for God, an honoring of God and of God's purposes for ourselves. Amen. Look at what this transgenderism does. It minimizes, disregards, dishonors God-given gender, just as we've noted what we've been saying. But I want to share with you a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 22. And verse 5. The law of Moses to Israel said, "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." You know what the answer is? The answer is, well, he was addressing idolatry in that. He wasn't addressing transgender. Well, those are the same ones that will go to a verse that condemns fornication and say, "Well, but he was talking about in association with worshiping the idol." You see, no, God made a distinction between man and woman, and that distinction was to be respected by Israel under this law, so that the woman was not to portray herself as a man and vice versa. And yet today, that is glamorized. It's hard to go to news sites anymore. If I was scrolling down the Wall Street Journal this morning and plastered on there was this huge, flamboyant, pictured makeup, of some LGBT gathering rally celebrating themselves. It's everywhere. It's in our face. Literally. People who disregard what the Bible says about moral purity, about the roles of male and female, and we're the intolerant ones when we point it out. We're the bigot when we go to the Word of God and read God created male and female, Genesis 1:27. We're the hater. You know, I'm tired of that. We need to rise up as God's people with a righteous indignation of what is true. We need to speak out for what is true. And it'll be a fight. It is a fight. But after all, didn't Paul say fight the good fight of faith? 1 Timothy 6:12. More on that tonight. We're going to study more tonight about the relevance of all of this and the resolve that we ought to have as God's people. So that's a preview for tonight. 1 Corinthians 11:14-15, though, back to the topic at hand. Paul said, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering." God, in distinguished the genders, the sexes, by hair length. And so it is a dishonor. He says, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit says, it's dishonorable for a man to have long hair. Well, now, we know you're just a hater, right? You see, all of this illustrates again this idea of thinking that has taken root and just has exploded, that I have the right to do whatever I want. There is no absolute authority. And you have no right to say anything about it. And if you even point out a differing view, we're going to shut you down. You can't even show the opposing view because we're going to impugn your motives. We're going to castigate you. We're going to vilify you. We're going to make you just as black as we can if you don't agree with what we have to say. Or at the very least, keep your mouth shut. Now that's what's going on in our society. Not just on this subject. We need to open our eyes and beware of it. Recognize what's happening. And understand that we understand we're in this world, we're not of this world. We understand our citizenship is in heaven. And so we understand that there's always been evil and there's always going to be evil. Brethren, we have to resolve ourselves to recognizing that transgenderism just is a flagrant in your face against God. It makes provisions for and promotes the sin of homosexuality. And that should seem rather self-evident. It makes provision for the flesh and its lust. And we're taught not to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13:14. It displays discontent, a lack of self-control. It is self-defined living and lustful choices. Paul said, "I've learned in whatever state I am in, therein to be content." A lot of people just need to learn to be content as a man or as a woman. Because after all, that's how God made you. But we want to define everything by ourselves and exchange the truth of God for a lie. Transgenderism dishonors marriage. It dishonors the home, make no mistake. You see, in the arranging of the home in Genesis 2, God has a husband and a wife. That means He has a father and a mother. Not two mothers, not two fathers. He has a father and a mother. Amen. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother. God arranged the home that way. Transgenderism destroys that, dishonors that. It says, it's up to me. The Bible says it's up to God. We're going to have to make a choice who we're going to honor. There may not, and I pray there is not a single person in this audience that would fall into such a life, but We can say a lot by saying nothing. We can give our support. We can give our tacit approval. What will we do? Do we believe it's okay for man to dishonor marriage? To redefine marriage the way man wants it? When God tells us what it is, let marriage be had in honor among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Will we think that it has no effect? It has a lot of effect. And I know that, again, I'm bleeding over to tonight, but the more I ponder this and meditate upon it, one of the present illustrations of just how influential and how insidious, probably is the word I'm looking for, how insidious the world is and how it can creep into us and our thinking as well. Again, like I say, we'll talk about that more tonight. I want to talk about how some trying to defend, rationalize, or even justify transgender. People are born this way, they say. Well, no, actually, they're not born this way. We talked about, you know, 1 in 4,500 that are born with an abnormality and ambiguity. But no, you see, chromosomes that establish sex, male or female, exist in the DNA, and that does not change. And you can change every physical feature you have. It doesn't change the truth of who you are. It just doesn't do it. So you see, Bruce Jenner can say, "I'm a woman." And he can change his appearance. But he's still a man. He's still male. He simply disregarded what God made him as. He's chosen to present himself as something else that is not the truth of the matter. LGBT are not born that way, or not born gay, for example. They've done several studies over the last few decades, actually, studying identical twins. Now, identical twins share the exact same DNA. And so, I have the same DNA as my brother in Texas. What about homosexuals that are twins? Well, they studied them. And what it showed was, there ought to be, now, to be true, if you're born that way, then there'll be a consistent outcome because of the shared DNA. You see? It ought to be 100%. But the studies reveal something else. If identical twin has same-sex attraction, the chances that the co-twin has that attraction is only about 11% in men and 14% in women. Because identical twins are always genetically identical, homosexuality cannot be genetically dictated. You're not born that way. It's a lie to say you're born that way. It's choices that are made. Choices. No one is born gay. The predominant things that create homosexuality in one identical twin and not the other have to be post-birth factors. Now, we're going to study that some tonight because you see they're choices, and choices can be influenced. But you're not born that way. If you're born that way, then you ought to have 100%. And if somebody, and if there's a transgender twin, then he ought, the twin ought to have those same realities. Doesn't follow. Does not follow scientifically. No. You see, to say someone's born that way just does not address the reality. God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't do that. Such, and you say, okay, Joe, what about all those physical abnormalities that happened? Well, you know, when sin entered the world, then these bodies began to decay. We die. And there's illness and disease. And therefore, sometimes things, we don't have things perfect physically. And so, physical defects occur. It's not God's fault. That's the world in which we live because of the reality of the presence of sin and sin's death and the reality of death in this world. It doesn't answer the point. Not at all. You see, What it does is seek to remove personal accountability for the choice that's made. And we cannot be deceived in the matter. This only have I learned, Solomon said, God made man upright and he's followed after many devices. God made us pure. We're born without sin. We're born innocent. God gave us our gender. And as we grow up, choices are set before us. We make choices and men, and we make wrong choices. And it leads a lot of people into very wrong and hurtful situations of life. But we're not born, people are not born transgender. That simply is not sustainable in the facts of the matter. Well, very quickly, look at this, though. People say, but God looks at the heart. Don't you know, Job? You ought to know that, Job. God looks at the heart. So if somebody's heart says that they're female when they're in a male body, then that's got to be okay with God, because really what all that God's interested in is the heart. Now, that's not what the verse said. See, 1 Samuel 16:7, we acknowledge, you see, in that verse, we're told that God does not look as man looks. God looks upon the heart. God sees what's in the heart, and He was making a choice of who was going to be king, and David's brother didn't fit the bill, because God knew the heart of Eliab, his brother, and knew the heart of David. So it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Well, just because he's really feels like he's a she on the inside, and God ought to acknowledge that. Again, that gets the cart before the horse. That gets the creature telling the Creator how it ought to be. When in fact, you see, God, he's saying God sees our character. When it says God looks at the heart, God sees our character. He sees our motives. He sees the will that we have, our will, our volition. God forms the person. God knows the identity. God knows it before birth. We read that in Psalm 139, in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. God tells Jeremiah the same thing. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. God made a choice that Jeremiah was going to be a prophet. But God knew him. Yes, God looks on the heart. But you see, that heart has to be in harmony with God's will. Not just in harmony with what I will, but what He wills. And thirdly, the defense is given sometimes we're just accommodating what we already are on the inside. We're just finally letting the real self show through. And again, the answer is no. Transgender accommodates choices made on the inside. Choices that are being made are then accommodated outside. And so, you see, we ask and pose the question, since God made you a particular sex, shouldn't you stay that no matter how you feel on the inside? The answer is yes, but a lot of people say no. I ought to just what I feel. And again, if I feel like a guy, or a woman says I feel like a guy, I ought to be a guy, and vice versa. So, like the lady in Spokane, she felt like she's African American, so that makes it so. No, it doesn't make it so. Doesn't make it so at all. Here's the point. Christ calls us to change our heart. He tells us to change the inside. Right? To Israel, through Ezekiel, God said to change the inside. They had such sin in themselves. In Ezekiel 18:31, He said, cast away from you all transgressions and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. God wanted their heart to change so their lives would change. He wants our hearts to change so our lives will change. That's the call of the gospel. That's the call of repentance. The transgender who thinks that he has the right or she has the right to simply decide who they are, and that is all that's involved, has taken God out of the equation. When in fact, the God who gave us our heart, who made us from the inside out and the outside in, who made us from top to bottom, says, we need to learn Christ. We need to hear Him, be taught by Him, because truth is in Jesus, Ephesians 4:21.
and put off the old man and put on the new man that's created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God calls us to repent. Not to say, I'm just going to accommodate what I am on the inside. But you see, with that attitude, I'm just going to live my sin and live in my sin. And that's what the world's chosen to do. The world chooses to just live in sin. Whatever the sin might be, God says, I want you to do something different. I made you to be something different, to be something better than that, to be something different than that. I made you to give your heart to me, to purify your heart, to live in harmony with His will, and so live in true righteousness and holiness. Let's summarize and close for the morning. The Bible teaches that gender has been created and assigned by God at birth. By the way, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 12, to add to this, says, a woman, as the woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. That's what the Bible says about such things as male and female. Transgender attitude says gender distinctions evolve and they change. Because you see, God's taken out of the picture. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1, 20 through 22. The Bible says gender identity is from birth. Male. The child was born. A male child. God has given me a man child, Eve said in Genesis 4 and verse 1. The world says, transgender says, gender is self-defined. Feelings, emotions, desires, what your impulses are. That decides what your gender is. All such things lead to sin. Well, again, God knows gender from birth. We saw that. Psalm 139, David wrote it. We're not born with the wrong gender. We're not born as a woman in a man's body. We develop that thinking as we grow up, influenced by us, by things around us, to think that way. Transgender says, God made me this way, I can't help it. Like the doctor who said the woman had a birth defect. You know, she had a female body, and she was a man in a female body. That's not a birth defect. It's not a birth defect. The Bible says gender differences ought to be honored, respected, maintained, because they're given from God. The transgender says it's self-defined. It honors self. Won't you look at this verse with me quickly before we close? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The verse says in verse 2, describing perilous times when men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Then again in verse 4. Verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. Lovers of selves. That defines a whole lot of this transgender. We get so enthralled with who we think we are because we don't think about God at all. God's out of the picture. There is no God. Or if He is, He didn't care about me, they say. And so they live for themselves. It's the humanism of the age. Man's the center of all things. It's selfishness. It's selfishness. It destroys lives. It destroys people. It destroys relationships. It destroys souls. That's why we speak about this. Because people need to be brought back to sanity, to truth, to God's Word. And we've had enough of the philosophies of men trying to accommodate and justify sin. The Bible says gender roles are honorable. God defines them. Man says gender roles are defined by the individual and by society. The Bible says people can change their hearts to conform their lives to holy living by repenting. Transgender says there is no sin. You talk about sin, that just means you're a judgmental bigot. Now, they say people should satisfy themselves, and so it becomes a courageous thing to be transgender. You see, it becomes a human right. Something extolled and acknowledged and upheld, endorsed and promoted. That's the world in which we live. It's not the world that the gospel calls us to. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. Because all have sinned. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need God's forgiveness. We need His mercy. We need to change our hearts toward the sin of our lives. Part of God's merciful grace is that He teaches us that we cannot continue in sin and expect eternal blessing, but rather we are to repent of our sin. And that means changing our heart and changing our lives to conform to the will of the Father. The gospel plan of salvation is the same for all. To hear the word of Jesus and believe that He's the Son of God, to confess our faith in Him and repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins. It's the same message around the world. It comes from the same book, from the Word of God, from the Bible. The call of God is to come to Jesus. It's not about coming to yourself and identifying yourself and finding your true self. It's about coming to Jesus and being the person God wants you to be. By turning away from sin, being saved through the blood of His Son. And we urge you to respond to His gospel call right now. To become a child of God. Repent, confess, and be baptized. Or correct sin if you're a Christian. You need to pray God to forgive you. And He will if you'll repent. 1 John 1 and verse 9. He will save you. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you.